is Go Beyond, the teaching and preaching ministry with Pastor Michael Urisha. Michael is an international speaker, songwriter, and the senior pastor of the Judah Ministries International Worship Center, located in McKeesport, Pennsylvania. If you are ever in the greater Pittsburgh area, please come and visit us. Let's now join in with the Judah Ministries praise team at the Worship Center.
And shout to God with a voice of triumph. Come on, is there somebody in here that can clap their hands? All you people, and shout to God with a voice of triumph. One, two, three.
With a voice of triumph, come on and shout.
Persecuted, not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. But I'm blessed beyond the curse, for his promise will endure. That his joy's gonna be my strength.
Though the sorrow may last for the night, joy comes in the morning.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
I'm trading my sorrow.
Persecuted, not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. And I'm blessed beyond the curse, for his promise will endure. That his joy's gonna be my strength.
Though the sorrow may last for the night, joy comes in the morning.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I'm trading my sorrow. I'm trading my
And this morning, as we've been learning about unity, as Jesus prayed for us in John chapter 17, and the Apostle Paul exhorts us throughout his epistles, we need to make every effort. Somebody say every effort. Every effort to keep the unity of the faith. Now, I know I probably said this every week, and I'll probably say it again next week, that we are not unified by the amount of finances that we have or we don't have. We're not unified by a political party. We're not unified by a social movement. What do you mean, Pastor? Here's what I mean. We're not unified by MAGA. I need to get some amens or I'll just belabor here. We're not unified by Black Lives Matter. We're not unified by Antifa. We're not unified by black or white, but we're unified by the color of red, which is the blood of Jesus. Come on, are you with me in here, somebody?
So God desires unity in his church. It's paramount throughout the Word of God. And so God so desires unity among the saints that in Jesus' final prayer just before the cross, he prays that we would be one, even as he and the Father are one. Here's just a couple of verses from that prayer. It's found in John chapter 17. We're eventually going to get to Revelation 13. I'm going to tie something in here together for you, talking about unity deception. But here Jesus speaks about, he's praying for the church. If I could have that up there, John chapter 17, verse 11. This is Jesus praying. He said, I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. He's praying for the disciples. He said, and I am coming to you. He said, Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me. Here it is, watch, so that they may be one, even as we are one. If you jump down a little bit in that chapter to verse 20, John chapter 17, verse 20 through verse 23, Jesus is still praying just before the cross. He says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. How many of you know that's us? How many of you believed in the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ? It came down through the apostles and the disciples. So Jesus is now praying for us. He says in verse 21 that all of them, here it is, may be what? One. Come on, somebody shout one. That we might be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. Are you following me, somebody? Verse 23, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to, here it is, complete unity. Somebody shout then. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. So listen, saints of God, that's our purpose of unity in the body of Christ. So that the world may know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believes in him shall be saved and shall receive eternal life. So how many of you know the world isn't necessarily going to believe by how well we preach or how well we sing? They're not going to know by how big our churches are or what kind of car we drive or what kind of clothes we wear. No. They're not going to know it by our great singing or our great choir. For John chapter 13 and verse 35, it says, by this, by what? By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, is that ye have love one for another. Come on, do you see the foundation of the church? It has to be in love. Out of love comes unity. Are you hearing me, somebody? So if our God desires unity in the church, a question for you. What do you think the devil desires? Say it. Discord, disunity, bitterness, unforgiveness, chaos. He will sow seeds through the believers in the church. Come on, somebody. There is no church that's exempt. Even Judah. The devil, listen, this is one of my wife's favorite sayings, the devil's busy. And he's trying to sow the seeds of discord. Also, because the devil is a counterfeiter, if our Messiah, meaning Jesus, is going to return, what is the devil going to rise up? A counterfeit, a false Messiah, an antichrist. Remember now, anti can remember both to replace or against. So an antichrist will rise up in this earth. So since the prior to the return of Jesus Christ, how many know Jesus is coming back? Oh, come on, somebody convince me. How many know Jesus is coming back? So prior to the return of Jesus Christ, the antichrist will bring a false unity. In other words, unity deception. So one of the main goals of Satan in the last days will be to create unity through the antichrist. Namely, a one world government, a one world church, a one world economic system as described in Revelation 13, once again, as we're going to look at here in a few minutes. So the groundwork for both of these institutions, a one world government and a one world church, as well as the world economic system, are well underway and have really been for a long time if you pay to attention to end time events that are going on around the world. How many of you know Jesus told us not just to pray, but to what and pray? Watch and pray. Know what's going on in the world. So both of these have been going on for a long time. We don't have time here today to go over all of the events, as the Pope signing an agreement with a major imam, building unity between the Catholic faith and Islam. We've discussed things like Chrislam. How many of you know what Chrislam is? It's a mixture between Christianity and Islam. Some of the proponents of that is Pastor Rick Warren. Another proponent of that is Steve Harvey. I'm just telling you, he has a big ad out about it, saying how Muslims and Christian all worship the same God. Is somebody hearing me today? I'm not saying he's not a funny guy, because he's funny. I watch him. How many of you like Family Feud? But I'm talking about something else. I'm talking about unity in the church. I'm talking about a one world church, a one world government that's coming along. So you have Chrislam, you have the World Peace Federation. The World Peace Federation is an offshoot of the Moonies. How many of you remember Sun Young Moon? The flower children in the airports, passing out their little, well, you know, Sun Young Moon passed away years ago. His second wife, Hak Ja Hun Moon, has taken over the World Peace Federation, and it's a one world faith organization. They go around the world and they have these massive rallies, and it's unfortunate that there are so many that have signed on to them, that have co-signed with them, politicians such as Newt Gingrich, Mike Pence. Is it all right if I just talk to you plain this morning? Gospel artists such as Hezekiah Walker, Noel Jones, Paula White, and others are all aligning themselves with this, listen, so I don't mince my words, this heretical organization. Just because somebody sings gospel music doesn't mean they're saved. Oh, you need to hear that, somebody. Just somebody stands in a pulpit doesn't mean they're born again. Just because somebody says, God bless America, what God are you talking about? Just because somebody gets an award and I thank God doesn't make them saved, sanctified, and full of the Holy Ghost. Are you hearing me, church? In a debate a couple of years ago about a politician, he wanted to ramp up Islamic teaching in our schools, which I fully reject. The counter argument from a quote unquote Christian was that it would just be a Bible study because, after all, we all worship the same God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Listen, church, that's heresy. Jesus is worlds apart from Allah. Jesus and Muhammad are not even in the same universe. Now listen, I'm not being mean. I'm just telling you what Jesus said. He said, I am the way. Come on. I am the truth. I am the and the Nobody comes unto the Father but by me. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 says there's one name, come on somebody, under heaven whereby we must be saved. Come on, somebody shout his name. Jesus. We're talking about Jesus. Come on and give him a praise in the house of God. However, as these battles are going on, there's some good news in the midst of this. I don't know how many of you follow this very closely, but the state of Louisiana, or Louisiana if you're from the South, just passed a law last week or the week before that by 2025, every state-funded school in Louisiana must have a poster of the Ten Commandments displayed in every classroom from primary school to high school and in every state university. Come on, somebody in the house, praise God for that victory. Now, of course, all the Antichrist organizations, such as the ACLU, and the ACLU and some of these lamestream media are beginning to melt down, and trust me, lawsuits will be filed because they will claim separation of church and state. Let me give you a civics lesson for a couple of minutes here very quickly. Listen, the separation of church and state is found nowhere in our Constitution. Are you hearing me? It's not in there. It's made up. First of all, our First Amendment was to keep the government out of the church, not the church out of the government. How many of y'all know we could use some church in our government today? Are you hearing me? We could use some Holy Ghost filled, some blood washed, some devil stomping, some Jesus proclaiming congressmen and senators and cabinet members. Secondly, this country was founded on Judeo-Christian principles, including the Ten Commandments. Listen, let's make no mistake about it. We have not always lived up to living as the Bible teaches us. There's not a person in here that has completely lived up to the Word of God. We have not done it as a nation. But listen, it's our foundation. Simply go read the Mayflower Compact, our first national document. It's only about a 5-minute read. If you go tour Washington, D.C., there are scriptures everywhere. There are monuments everywhere. Even our Supreme Court has Moses holding two tablets in our Supreme Court. What was he holding? The New York Times? The Washington Post? It's symbolic of the Ten Commandments because that is the bedrock. Come on, somebody in the house of God. That's the bedrock of the United States of America. So now they want to bring it back into school and they're crying separation of church and state. Lastly, could you imagine in this day teaching our children not to steal? Could you imagine teaching them not to kill or not to cheat? Could you imagine teaching our children today not to sleep with your neighbor's wife? Oh, come on, somebody. Could you imagine teaching the children today serve God first? Could you teach them to honor their mother and their father? That's crazy talk in today's society. No, they would rather teach them, oh, Susie, you want to be a boy. Do you see how far we have fallen, saints of God? This is all an attempt to remove God from every institution and to create a secular society. Let's take a look at some history and see how this has worked out. This removal of God from the common society and this movement of universalism that many full gospel churches are buying into, not to mention the ordination of homosexual pastors. It's an oxymoron. Churches having transgender teaching, transgenders teaching their children about sexuality and on and on and on. This all plays into the coming of the one world government and the one world church. We're talking about unity deception. It's all a part of the great delusion that God himself is sending in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. This is what's known as God's passive judgment. You know, there's God's active judgment, there's God's passive judgment. God's passive judgment is when you reject God. If you read Romans chapter 1, if you reject God, he will remove the hedge of protection from you and say, go ahead and, what was the commercial? Have it your way. That was Burger King. Have it your way. Well, how's that working out? That's God's passive judgment. It's all through Romans chapter 1, as opposed to his active or selective judgment, like with Noah when he opened up the floodgates, with Sodom and Gomorrah when it rained fire, and the coming Armageddon. That will be God's active judgment. But right now, listen, make no mistake about this. Listen, the United States is under God's passive judgment. Are you hearing me? We're talking about unity deception, a coming new world order. I use the term new world order because that is what many politicians and world leaders are calling it. Although about 4 years ago when I did an expose, we got deleted off of YouTube because I used the term new world order, but now they're all using it, so I guess it's okay now. The term dates back decades. However, the idea dates back even further than that. The inception of a new world order actually began in your Bible in Genesis chapter 11 with Nimrod and the Tower of Babel. Let's take a look at that. Genesis 11 verses 6 and 7, Yvonne. The Bible says, this is Genesis 6 and 7, says, the Lord said, if as one people, speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, building the tower, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us. Don't miss that. That's the triune God. Didn't say let me. He's talking about Elohim, the triune God. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so that they will not understand each other. So there was unity back in the Tower of Babel, and they were trying to usurp God. So this principle of the power of unity, church, is universal. It can be used for good, or it can be used for evil. And because of the depravity of man, man will try to use it to usurp God. So unity with evil intent is nothing new. If you're following me, help me and say amen. Amen. More recently, it surfaced in our country in the late 19th century and early 20th century. Not all, but many of our politicians on both sides of the aisle, even U.S. presidents, have been New World Order proponents, also known as globalists. Some more than others. George H.W. Bush, our 41st president, was a major proponent of the New World Order. He kind of rekindled the national conversation while he was president. Here's an article from the Foreign Affairs of 1992, if you could throw that slide up there. This says, in this article, the 1991 Persian Gulf War was, according to President Bush, about more than one small country. It is a big idea, a new world order, with new ways of working with other nations, peaceful settlement of disputes, solidarity against aggression, reduced and controlled arsenals, and just treatment of all peoples. So he had a goal, along with other globalists, to begin instituting a new world order. I'm taking you through a little history here. You go back a few years to our 32nd president with Franklin D. Roosevelt. He was also a major proponent. The Houston Star Slide reports this. In the Houston Star's article from 2018, it's stating that maybe it's time to call for the New World Order as proposed by George H.W. Bush in the early 1990s, also proposed by FDR in the 1930s. Here's what the article reads. President Franklin D. Roosevelt had hoped that the creation of the United Nations Security Council would allow countries to act in concert to secure the peace. He and others saw a future where nations were fully integrated into global institutions, watch, like a World Trade Organization, like a World Bank, like the United Nations, with the United States firmly at the center. So, church, the idea amongst American politicians, Republicans and Democrats alike, dates far back to the early 20th century. Today, we have the United Nations. We have the New World Order. We have NATO. We have the World Health Organization. We have the World Trade Organization, G20, the Paris Climate Accord. We have COP27, COP28. We've detailed those in times past, and all working in concert towards a one world global government. If you're familiar with the World Economic Forum with Bill Gates, Klaus Schwab, John Kerry, George Soros, all working behind the scenes about what they want to do. Some of the ideals that they throw around, just as FDR did and George Bush, are world peace. They are proponents of world peace. They're proponents of economic justice, social justice, health care for everyone, a clean planet. And listen, saints, listen to this. Who can really disagree with any of those goals? It all sounds good. They're lofty, but they're good goals. Can you say amen? Amen? But listen, that will only come when Jesus comes. You realize that, though. Amen? The issue comes is when you want to know how they're going to achieve those lofty goals. We don't have time to delve into that today, but if you go to the World Economic Forum's website with their utopian goals of, listen, human depopulation. Did you hear me? With their goal of 15-minute cities and bug eating and environmental worship. Listen, please, 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 do not take my word for these things. Go to their website and please fact check me. Look at their purpose. Look at what they want to do and how they want to achieve it. Now, let's take a look at the Word of God in Revelation 13, speaking about this nearly 2,000 years ago. Let's take a look and see what it says about this one world system, also known as the New World Order. It's a false unity coming. It's a false deception. It's a unity deception. How many of you know that the authors of the Bible wrote about this thousands of years ago? Listen, saints of God, it's coming to fruition right before our very eyes. I'm not trying to alarm you. I'm trying to arm you. Are you hearing me? So let's read through Revelation 13. If you have your Bible, you can turn it there. We'll have it up on the screen. I'm going to make some commentary and define some prophetic terminology along the way to help us identify some of the characters for those who are new to the prophetic scripture. Through Revelation 13 and beyond, we will see the unholy trinity, which is Satan, also known as the dragon, the Antichrist, who is referred to as the beast, and the false prophet, known as the second beast. So let's read. The dragon, Satan, stood on the shore of the sea. Sea is symbolic of people or tumultuous people. And I saw a beast coming out of the sea. The beast is the Antichrist coming up out of the people. Remember, the Antichrist, also known as the son of perdition or the lawless one, the Antichrist will be a human being that will be possessed by Satan himself. How many of you know Satan can possess a human being? Can you say Judas? Come on, read it in your Bible. He will be a human being that is possessed by Satan himself. He will initially come as a man of peace. He will initially come to bring unity. Let's read on. It says, it had 10 horns. 7 heads with 10 crowns on its horns, and each head had a blasphemous name. Now, heads, horns, crowns represent the end time coalition of nations that will gather together basically against Israel. Verse 2, the beast, or the Antichrist, I saw he resembled a leopard, had feet like those of a bear, a mouth like that of a lion. This Antichrist, this world leader, will have all the power of the Babylonian Empire back in the book of Daniel, the Medo-Persian Empire, as well as the Greek empires combined. The symbolism, the leopard, the bear, and the lion, it's spelled out in Daniel chapter 7. You could go to our YouTube channel if you would like to study that as well. The dragon, meaning Satan, gave the beast, the Antichrist, his power and his throne and great authority. Listen, saints of God, when the Antichrist comes into full power, this world leader will make Hitler, Stalin, Pol Pot, Mao Zedong look like church boys. Are you hearing me? Verse 3. One of the heads of the beast, the Antichrist, this world leader, one of the heads of the beast seemed to have a fatal wound. But the fatal wound had been healed. The whole world was filled with wonder and followed this Antichrist. Verse 4. People worshiped Satan, the dragon, because he had given full authority to the beast, this Antichrist, this human being. And they also worshiped the beast, the Antichrist, and asked, who is like the beast? Who is like this guy? Who is like this man? We've never seen anyone like him before. He's a peacemaker. He's a diplomat like none other. He's a brilliant military strategist. The question is, who can wage war against the Antichrist? So this man who rises up from the people will be the politician of politicians. The entire world will worship him. The entire world will love him. He will be a unifier, especially with Israel and her enemies. Listen, there's a false peace that will come to Israel before the return of Jesus Christ. Are you following me? These wars that are going on right now with Hezbollah in the north and Hamas in the south and the Houthis in the Red Sea, that will subside at some point, because right before Antichrist comes, he's going to bring peace. Then it's all hell will break loose. Then how many of you know Jesus is going to return? Just giving you a timeline here. So Revelation 13 reveals the unholy Trinity, just as our holy Trinity of our God, the Father, Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, the devil's counterfeit trinity is Satan being the Father, the Antichrist being the Son, and the false prophet being the Holy Spirit, if you will. In verse 3, the Antichrist seems to have a fatal wound, but it's healed. In other words, he wasn't fatally wounded. He didn't die and come back to life. Did you hear what I just said? But he was close. This is a counterfeit death and resurrection by the son of Satan, the Antichrist. And the world will worship the son of the Antichrist, as well as Satan, his father. Church, do you see the parallels? Do you see the deception that's coming? Verse 5, the beast, or the world leader, the Antichrist, was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies and to exercise its authority for 42 months, meaning 3.5 years. In other words, how many of you know God has him on a leash? He will have exactly 3.5 years. His time will be limited. Verse 6, it opened its mouth to blaspheme God, to slander his name and his dwelling place and those who live in heaven. It was given power to wage war against God's holy people and to conquer them. It's a tough verse. And it was given authority over every tribe, watch this, people, language, and nation. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all whose names have not been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the Lamb who was slain from the creation of the world. So here's a question. Today, is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Come on, somebody. If your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you have nothing, somebody shout nothing, to worry about. But in this verse, we see that all inhabitants of the earth will worship him. In other words, there's going to be a unified world. There's unity, deception, a new world order. Verse 7, it says, people from every tribe, every language, every nation. Now, I don't know about you, but I, Michael V. Yerusha, I plan on being with another group of people from every tribe, from every nation, from every language, from every land around the world, around the throne of Almighty God, and worshiping our God and our Savior and the Lamb of God. Come on, is there, who's joining me with this? Come on, somebody. My. So you see, church, there's a line of delineation being drawn. True Christianity and everyone else. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Jesus didn't say, I've come to bring peace, but I've come to bring a sword. I know that's a hard word, but I'm just telling you what your Bible says. Let me say it this way. There is Jesus, then there is everybody else. Please, do not compare Jesus with Allah. Do not compare Jesus with Krishna. Do not compare Jesus with Sun Young Moon. Do not compare Jesus with Buddha or the Pope. There is none who compares with our God. Let me say it again. There is one name under heaven. Come on, saints. What is it? There's one name under heaven whereby we must be saved. Let's continue through Revelation. Let's jump down to verse 11. And here's where the false prophet is introduced. Verse 11 says, then I saw a second beast, the false prophet, also coming out of the earth. The false prophet will be a human with great religious influence in the world. Many today, and I'm not trying to offend any Catholics here, but many think that it could be the current day Pope. Now, I'm not saying that he is, I'm not dogmatic about it, but let me tell you something. If you follow that guy at all, he's definitely a front runner. You hearing me? He teaches heresy. Listen, my Catholic friends, you might be watching by this broadcast. I'm not telling this to you to offend you. I'm telling you because the man speaks lies. When he says, and it's in a document on Catholic literature, when he states that an atheist can be saved because of the love that's shed abroad in his heart. Listen, he has taken Jesus' death on the cross and resurrection from the grave in vain. If we could be saved by the love shed abroad in our hearts, why did Jesus die? I pray that you get set free. Now watch this. I saw the second beast coming out of the earth. It had two horns like a lamb. Who's the Lamb of God?
Jesus.
Are you following me?
Yes.
He's like a lamb, counterfeit. But it spoke like the devil. It exercised all authority of the first beast, the Antichrist, because now we're talking about the false prophet, on its behalf, and made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast, the Antichrist, whose fatal wound had been healed. In other words, this is important because people were freaking out a few years ago about the vax and the mark of the beast. The Bible says he made the earth worship the beast. In other words, no longer was it voluntary. It was mandatory. Verse 13, and it, the false prophet, he performed great signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to the earth in full view of the people. In other words, as a counterfeit Elijah. How many of you know Elijah called down fire? Verse 14, because of the signs it was given power to perform on behalf of the first beast, it deceived the inhabitants of the earth. It ordered them, mandated them, to set up an image in honor of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. Once again, it's a counterfeit resurrection. It's a counterfeit fire coming from the false prophet. Do you, listen, church, listen, let me drop this here. Do you see why it is so dangerous to follow signs and wonders? Jesus said it in Matthew chapter 7. He says, many, not a few, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we heal the sick in your name? Lord, Lord, did we not do great miracles in your name? Lord, Lord, didn't we preach? Didn't we sing? Didn't we usher? Didn't we deacon? Didn't we oversee whatever in your name? Jesus' response to them was, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. Why? Because I never knew you. Ginosko in the Greek, meaning to have a personal relationship such as a husband and a wife. Come on, did you get that? Say amen. Do you have that relationship with Jesus today is the question. Does Jesus, you know, so many times in evangelism, we always ask, do you know Jesus? I think the question should be, does Jesus know you? My God. Verse 15. The second beast, the false prophet, was given to give breath to the image of the first beast so that the image could speak and cause all who refused to worship the image to be killed. So once again, it's no longer voluntary, but it's mandatory. So in some way, this idol that's going to be constructed under the direction of the false prophet will be able to speak, either with some type of technology, with AI. I don't know, do you follow AI at all, what they're doing with this stuff? It's crazy. It could be AI, becomes some kind of technology. It could be supernatural force. This idol will require everyone to worship it, just as in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, when it caused everybody to fall down and worship. But we know, thank God, he had a remnant there called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Verse 16, it forced all people, great and small, rich, poor, free, slave, to receive the mark on their right hand and on their foreheads, so that they could not buy or sell. This is the one world economic system here. So that they could not buy or sell unless they had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of its name. Verse 18, this calls for wisdom. Let the person who has insight calculate the number of its beast, of the beast. For it is the number of a man, that number is 666. So listen, church, there's the introduction of the one world currency, the one world banking system. We already have the technology to accomplish this. Just 50 or 60 years ago, we had no idea how that would ever be accomplished. That's what, like even, you know, 50 or 60 or even 30 years ago, when the Bible says, when Jesus returned, every man, every eye shall see him. How will that be possible? But not, I've been in the bushes in Africa and India. Everybody has cell phones today. Every eye will see Jesus when he returns, my friend. So back to this technology, 50 or 60 years ago, how could that be possible for everybody to have a one world banking system? Listen, that's why I believe that we are in the generation that Jesus spoke about that would experience the rapture and the second coming of Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody in the house, give God some praise. You are that generation. I am that generation. We are that generation. Verse 17 states that you cannot buy, you cannot sell without the mark. It won't matter how much money you have in your bank. It won't matter about your portfolio or your social security check or your stocks or your bonds or how many houses you own or how much cash you have stuffed in your mattress. Are you hearing me? All government checks and subsidies will come to an abrupt, immediate halt unless you receive the mark of the beast and pledge your allegiance to him. If you've been reading anything about this digital currency that we're living in this day with digital currency or the central bank digital currency system, you know that we are in warp speed for a global ID system and the new world order to begin. Listen, saints of God, a one world currency is on the horizon. I have a couple slides here. The first one, if you could throw that up there, Yvonne, this is in Sweden. This is from 2018. Let me read just a little part of this article. Because you know the mark of the beast is ready to go. We already have the technology. We have the ID chips. We put them in our pets. They put them in farm animals. So we already have this technology. Let me read this couple paragraphs. This is October 2022. 218 says, technology continues to get closer and closer to our bodies. From the phones in our pockets to our smart watches on our wrist, now for some people, it's getting under their skin. In Sweden, this is 2018, in Sweden, a country rich with technological advancements, thousands have had microchips inserted where? Did we just not read that in Revelation 13? London, England. Next slide, please. How many familiar with Aldi supermarkets? Here it is. Aldi has opened its first ever contactless store. This is 2022. The trial store allows you to buy items without going through a checkout. You simply scan an app to enter, pick up your items, and leave. And the money is automatically taken from your bank account. Now, you could go YouTube. Some of these even have videos. The way this works is you cannot even enter the store without digital ID. Are you hearing me? Do you see the technology being there, saints of God? So once you code in, they have cameras everywhere. So you pick up your items, it's on video. They ring you up and it comes right out of your bank account. That's the technology that we have today. Just walk out. You just put stuff in your bag. You can't steal anything because they got you on every camera in the store. And then they charge your account. Next slide. Amazon also has similar stores. In 2023, this article is from Amazon One Palm Payment Technology. Are you with me? Revelation 13, we just read about it. It says Amazon One Palm Payment Technology is coming to all 500 plus Whole Food markets in the U.S. Amazon's web services, palm recognition service for identification, payment, loyalty membership, and entry at over 400 locations across the U.S. reaches a critical milestone with more than 3 million users. The article goes on to say, this means Whole Foods Market customers who choose to use Amazon One will no longer need their wallet or even a phone to pay. They can simply, like the guy in the picture, hover their hand, their palm, over an Amazon One device. Judah, do you see it coming to fruition? This was written 2,000 years ago. That's what separates our Bible from any other piece of literature on the face of the earth, including the Quran and all the different hadiths, because of the prophetic accuracy that is written in this book. Saints of God, Revelation 13 is being fulfilled right before our very eyes. The technology is here. Now it's just a matter of creating the infrastructure to scale this technology globally. And let's face it, saints of God, we're already used to not using cash. Amen? We buy a cup of coffee, credit card. Most of us don't even carry cash. I've been in airports around the world. They don't take any kind of cash. If you don't have a card, you're not getting anything. So we're living in that day. Now listen, as I always tell you, I'm not telling this to scare you, but to prepare you. Listen, Jesus Christ is on his way back. They're warming up the horse in the stable. Are you hearing me? He's about to break the eastern sky. So I want to tell you today, listen, be ready. You don't have time to get ready, honey. You better be ready. Come on, somebody in the house of God, give him a praise. The time isn't here yet, but there's a time coming where when governments will mandate the mark. And if you don't think the government can do that, they've done it already. How many of you remember just a couple years ago, they've mandated businesses to close. They mandated churches to close. They mandated you to receive a vax and lose your job. They mandated you to wear a mask. And like lemmings, the world at large has obeyed. Listen, mandating a digital ID for groceries will be a cakewalk. Because how many of you like to eat every day? 2-3 times a day. Let me wrap it up. Right now, church, we're living in the church age. We're living in Revelation chapter 2, chapter 3, the time just prior to the tribulation period. I believe that the church age will abruptly end with the rapture of the church of Jesus Christ. I believe that will be the dividing line. 2 Thessalonians, my last scripture, if you could throw that up there. Verse 7, it says, for the secret power of lawlessness is already at work. How many of you know that to be true? Just watch the evening news at night. But the one who holds it back will continue to do until he is taken out of the way. Well, who is the one that's holding this evil one back? Listen, church, it's us, the saints of God. It's the church of Jesus Christ. It's the Holy Spirit within us. Because the Holy Spirit will never leave this earth. Because even during the tribulation period, how many of you know there's going to be great revival? There's going to be people getting saved. The Jewish nation is going to be coming to Yeshua HaMashiach, recognizing that he is the Messiah. That's when they cry, as Zechariah wrote, they're going to look on the one whom they have pierced. They're going to realize that Jesus is the Messiah, and it's the Holy Spirit on earth at that time that will reveal it to them, so the Holy Spirit will never leave the earth. However, for the church, right now we are the restraint against this wickedness in the earth. Jesus said to us, he said, you are the salt of the earth. In old days, in antiquity, they used salt as a preservative. They would put it on the meat to prevent the spoilage, to slow it down. So we are the salt of the earth in this world today. We are preventing full-blown wickedness in governments and education systems around the world, and the media and academia. We are still restraining, but I'm telling you, one day there's a trumpet, honey, that's gonna blow. The dead in Christ, come on now, are gonna rise first. But we who remain and are still alive, we shall be harpazo. We shall be caught up in the air to meet the Lord. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Come on, somebody in the house, give the Lamb of God some praise here. So you see the depravity and the debauchery that we're living in today. Could you imagine when there's no longer a church in the earth? Could you imagine when there's no longer someone preaching truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Could you imagine no more YouTube channels or Facebook posts or television stations or radio stations proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ? My God, it's going to turn quick. It's going to turn quick. I lost my place, but that's all right. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So listen, church, we are the one that are restraining the Antichrist from coming. Verse 8, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 8. It says, and then after we removed, the lawless one will be revealed, the Antichrist in Revelation 13, which we just read, whom the Lord Jesus Christ will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. Let me go through this timeline and we're done. Right now, church, we have a slide. There it is. Right now, we're at the end of the church age. The Antichrist enters the scene on the white horse, Revelation 6, after the rapture, and right at the beginning of the tribulation period, he's going to come as a man of peace. After the white horse is the red horse, which is war. There's going to be war breaking out all over the earth. After the red horse is the black horse, which is going to be a financial collapse. You could read this through Revelation chapter 6, where it says you're going to have to work a whole day just to buy one loaf of bread. There'll be economic collapse. After the black horse comes the pale green horse, and there will be unparalleled death on this planet. The Bible says 1/4 of the earth will die. Then Revelation 13 happens, 3.5 years into the tribulation period. The Antichrist breaks the 7-year covenant with Israel, as prophesied in Daniel chapter 9 as well. He sets himself up in the temple. What is known as the abomination that causes desolation that Jesus and Daniel both spoke about. And then he implements the new world order, which we just read about in Revelation 13, which requires people to receive the mark and worship him. So it's 3.5 years into the tribulation period when the mark of the beast is mandated. However, saints of God, the way I read my Bible, we're going to be long gone by the time the new world order comes. Come on, somebody. That's good news. That's good news. I believe the Bible teaches that we're going to be caught up. We're going to be rescued. Some of the people want to call it escape theology. That's okay. You could call it whatever you want. But the Bible says in Revelation 3, verse 10, it says he's going to make a way of escape. How many of you are looking for that way of escape? No, I want to be a holy Christian. I want to go through the tribulation period. Go right on with your bad self. So, Pastor, if we're gone, why are you even telling us about this? Well, Liz, that's a fair question. But here's my question to you. Are you saved? Today, is your name, not your neighbor's name, not your mama's name. Well, my daddy was a preacher. I don't care. Is your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life? If you got an amen with that, listen, you're good to go. If you answer, oh me, huh? Or I don't know, today is the day to call on the name of the Lord. Also, God gave us the book of Revelation so that we would not be ignorant like the Pharisees were at the first coming of Jesus. He wants us not to be ignorant. Second question, do you have family members, husbands, wives, friends, co-workers that do not have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life? It's time to share the truth of God in love with them. Of course, we all do, somebody. These messages are designed to help inform you first so that you recognize what's going on in the world and keep your focus on Jesus. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. He's the author, come on. And the finisher of your faith. Secondly, so that you can therefore shed some light on what's really going on in the world to some of the lost people around you. Let them know that this Bible is not a fairy tale, but every prophecy will be fulfilled, including Jesus Christ returning to this earth and reigning in Jerusalem. Come on, somebody. So when this new world order is implemented in Revelation 13, it won't just pop up overnight. It's a very slow process, you know, like the frog in the pot of warm water. All the technology and most of the players will already be in place. I personally believe that the Antichrist, as well as the false prophet, could very well be alive on this earth today. I believe that. I just, from a prophetic look, that's what I see. But remember our timeline. Long before the Antichrist, we the church are gone. But as Jesus said in John chapter 9, verse 4, he says, as long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent us. Because night is coming when no man can work. So Judah, listen, for now, we're called to tarry. We're called to work the fields. We're called to plant. We're called to fertilize. We're called to water because the harvest is ready. The laborers are few. So let's love unconditionally. As I like to tell you, let's simply love the hell out of somebody. Let's love somebody. Let's strive for unity. Let's preach the truth with grace at all costs. Let's stay in the word. Let's stay in the church because there's protection in unity. There's protection in the fellowship. A sheep's protection is only in the flock. The wolf goes after the wanderer. Are you hearing me, somebody? There's safety in unity. There's power in unity. My Bible says wherever two or three come together and agree, I will grant them. Come on, somebody. So I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you today to buckle down. I hope this message stirred you inside. I hope it caused you a thirst after the word of God. I hope it caused you to have a passion and a burden for those who are lost around you. That's what we're called to do. Share the love of Christ with somebody. With somebody. Because one day, as Jesus says, the day is going to be over. And there's a day coming when no man can work. Amen. Come on, put your hands together and give our God a praise.
To proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to every nation, every generation, to all creation, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ.